Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. We have a few visitors with us. We extend a very special welcome to you. Those of you watching the live stream, we'd like to welcome you. We're going to finish up our study tonight of the book of 1 John. We have been looking at that on Sunday nights when I've had the opportunity to deliver the lesson. And just a quick recap, in case you haven't been here. John wrote this, the Apostle John wrote this, to remind the Christians that they can know the Word of God. There were people that were promoting a false teaching concept that to understand what God wanted them to know will give you the information. I've got it. I'll deliver it to you. And John's saying, no, you can know. There were people that were teaching that Jesus did not come in the flesh. In spite of the numerous people that had witnessed it and that were still alive. There were some that taught that Jesus was a good man, had some good teachings, but he wasn't the Son of God. John was refuting that. There was a number of false teachings that emerged not too long after the church had started. And kind of like Paul was saying in Galatians, you know, I marvel that you are straying so soon after hearing the Word of God. But we're going to end up today with John's first letter, and we'll be looking at the fifth chapter tonight. It starts off in verse 1. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. This has been a constant message through all five chapters that you have to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It refutes this idea that Jesus was just a good teacher, a good rabbi. No, he was the Son of God. If he wasn't the Son of God, he was a liar because he claimed he was. He died for it. I tell you, that's taking, I've seen people carry a lie out pretty far. I've seen people tell a lie to cover a lie and then to tell another lie, and it just keeps building. Jesus carried, if he was telling a lie, he carried it out pretty far to the point of death on a cross. And every one of the apostles, other than the apostle John, wound up dying a martyr's death for that very teaching, that he was the Son of God. In John 8:24, Jesus said, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Not that I am he, Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. Of course they knew that who he was. Belief in him that he is the Son of God. And that is, if he wasn't, I mentioned this morning, we would be wasting our time as Christians. Goes on into verse 2, by this we know. Again, this idea that we can know. Not somebody telling us information, we can know. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments, that is an identifying trait as a Christian, that we keep his commandments. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. That it's an identifying trait of us that people can see. When we keep his commandments, and it goes on to say in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Stacy and I were talking the other day about the difference between have to and get to. And there's a sermon there. I better jump on it before Tracy or Dick beats me to it. But there's a difference between I have to go to worship and I get to go to worship. I have to fellowship. I have to like my brothers and sisters in Christ. I get to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's a big difference. And this is, his commandments are not burdensome. It is not something we gotta do. Oh, it's Saturday night, we gotta get up early tomorrow. We get to. We get to come to worship and worship God. Get to go before God's throne and offer praises and worship to him. God the Father, God the Creator. We get to do that. We get to go to God the Father in prayer, boldly, not timidly. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And we have talked to great extent about that word belief, that it's always tied to obedience. An obedient faith, not a mental acknowledgement. Not a mental acknowledgement, I know that there's a God. There's a lot of people in the world that believe that Jesus is the Christ, that believe in a God. But does it change their life? Do they do anything that makes a difference that the world can see that they believe in God? And that's our victory. I love winning. I like winning, whether it's a game or whatever. This is the greatest victory we can get. The victory that we have, that we've overcome the world, and the world thinks we're losers. The world thinks just a bunch, you know, look at how Christians are portrayed in the media. Bunch of dumb, weak people. We're the winners. We're the ones that have overcome the world. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. In John 3:5, when Jesus came to, or when Nicodemus came to Jesus to discuss things with him, and Jesus told him, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, how? Okay, explain that one to me. How can a full-grown man be born again? Jesus goes on to explain, and Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Talking about baptism, that we have to be born of water and not just get wet. Be baptized, but also with the Spirit. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. It has to be both. Baptism is more than just getting dunked. It has to be, and we've had lessons on this numerous times, that what baptism is. It has to be a conscious decision. It has to be done in the proper way, the proper time, the proper motivation. Not to join, not for somebody else, not as an infant child, not for a dead person. None of that. John goes on to say, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. I'll tell you, these are three aces right here. These are three pretty good aces to have in the hole. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and we know from the Gospel of John who the Word is, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. This is class today, part two. And these three are one. Are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. They don't contradict each other. Never has one of those witnesses contradicted the other two. Never. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. Men may say one thing. God gets the final say. And His is the truth. In Matthew 3:17, when John the Baptizer baptized Jesus, it says, and suddenly a voice from heaven, a voice came from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. That very same thing can and will be said about us. This is My child. I am well pleased with them. Enter, good and faithful servant. That's something I want to hear someday. On the mountain when Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him, and we call this the Transfiguration. And it says in Matthew 17:5, it says, while He was still speaking, that He was Peter. Peter was going on after witnessing this. He is saying, I'm going to build three tabernacles, you know, blah, blah, blah. While He was still speaking, God's interrupting him. Peter, quit yapping and listen. While He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Peter, why don't you shut your trap for just a moment and listen? Why don't you just sit, observe, and watch and listen? Something's going on right here. You don't need to be talking. There's going to be time for you to talk. And you're going to have a great audience. Right now is not the time. God interrupted Peter. Verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I love that song that we sang tonight, 292, Into My Heart. That we want Jesus in us. And that's what this is saying. He who has the Son has life. That's that victory that we get. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. John is addressing people that have been questioning, they've been hearing others that you need me to tell you the truth. That you can't know the truth, but I can tell you the truth. John refutes that. You can know the truth. Not only can you know the truth, you can know that you have eternal life. That's bold. How many times do we, are you saved? Well, I sure hope I am. The Apostle John says we can know, that we can stand tall. Not in an arrogant way. Not in a prideful, boastful way, but that we can know that we are God's. Goes on to say, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, toward the end of the Gospel of John, it is written, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Amen. There's that tie. That is one of the threads that was so important to John. Not only in his gospel, but here in 1 John. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin. Want to say this again. Verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. Don't we tend as people to rate and rank sins? One's worse than another, and you know, oh, I'm not. I don't do those things. I might do these things, but I don't do that. And I've asked the question many times: would it make you feel any better going to hell for this sin rather than this sin? Because it says all unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We do not have some sort of force field around us the moment we come out of baptism. It's not that we're never going to be tempted, that we're never going to be tempted to stumble, and that we can just do whatever we want, think whatever we want, be wherever we want, be with whoever we want, and it's not going to rub off on us. It takes effort. It's a fight. It's a fight for our souls. But we do have the armor. We have the backing and the reinforcements with each other to win that battle. In James 4, 7, James wrote, "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I don't know. I've never lived in any other country. Born in the United States. I've lived here all my life. It appears to me that people in the United States sometimes have trouble with that word submit. As an American, I will never submit to the enemy. As an American, as a patriotic American, I will never submit. But as a Christian, I have to submit. I have to yield to God. Have to. I have to yield to my brothers and sisters. Defer to them. Be meek. As an American, and I'm not separating the two, as an American with secular things, I will never, ever submit. As a Christian, I will. And he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You resist with all your might. You resist like somebody's holding your head underwater. You fight, you kick and scratch. It's a street fight with the devil. And you got to ask yourself, how bad are you going to fight? How much are you going to resist? We have to resist the devil. I love this verse. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We look out there in the world. They think, the world thinks, we're the weak ones. They're the walking dead. They don't even know it. They're walking around. Their souls are dead without Christ. And the whole world, as John says, lies under the sway of the wicked one. 1 Peter 5:8, the Apostle Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That's how alert we have to be. And we have to resist that devil. Verse 20, "And we know," here's that word "know" again. John drives the point home. I should have counted up how many times the word "know" was used in 1 John. Because that's such a major point for him. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding." Not only has he come in the flesh, but he's given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus said in the Gospel of John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way." He was talking to the disciples, and Thomas was asking, you know, Jesus was saying, "Where I go, you can't..." Well, why can't we go? Why can't we know where you're going? And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We can't do it ourselves. We can't ride the coattails of somebody else. We can't buy our way. We can't, well, don't you know who I am? Our way into heaven. You just can't do it. You've got to go get to the Father through the Son. And he closes up. He closes this letter that he's written. Man has separated it into five different chapters. And he closes up this letter, starts it off, beloved, and he's used the word little children before, and he ends it, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Keep yourselves, you know, what is an idol? It's something that gets your time, your energies, your efforts, your thoughts, and it's not being delivered to God. Keep yourselves from idols. What a wonderful letter John has written for us today, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I've gotten a lot out of this. I hope you do as we go into this new week. Know that you can know the truth. John wanted you to know that you can know. Not some person that's delivering it to you. He might help you. The person studying with you might help you, like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip helped him understand. But that we can know and that we can be of God, be one of God's children. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, through baptism, through prayers, through repentance, identifying with us to worship and work with us, whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.